want to miss it. Come out. Both Lee and Jane will be here, his wife Jane. Lee really, I believe, has a voice for this generation. And that book, I recommend it highly. He'll have some of those copies of those books here. So I recommend, come on out this Sunday. Bring somebody with you, 9:30 and 11. You do not want to miss it. All right. Well, tonight we want to start a new series. We've been on our Hero series for quite a few months now. And so tonight we wanted to start a new one. I don't know how long it'll take us, but how many have ever realized that life has some problems in it? I mean, you know, and the thing is, when we face problems, we think that the problem is our problem. Come on, somebody. And we look at that, and you know what? It may be our problem, but understand that in that problem that there's a whole lot of other things that God wants to bring us through to be able to help us to live a victorious life in Christ. And I got a little acronym here. Problems are, well, P is the problem. R is reminders. Problems are reminders. And we're going to look at this over the next couple of weeks. Problems are O, obstacles. Problems are B, blessings. They really are. Problems are blessings in disguise. If you and I know the attitude to have when problems arise, they can turn into blessings. And you'll see through Scripture how that pans out. L, they're lessons. Problems are lessons, things we can learn from, that we can grow from, and God wants to take us. And the Bible says that we are being transformed into the image of Jesus from glory to glory. And if we'll view problems as a way to learn, as a way to really be transformed, God will use it that way. Problems are everywhere. How many know you don't have to look very far? Problems are everywhere. Somebody said, yeah, they're sleeping in the bed next to me. You know, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. In fact, we have a marriage conference simulcast coming up in August. We'll tell you more about that. But if that was you, if you thought that when I said the problems are everywhere, you want to make sure that you're at that conference, all right? Okay. Problems are M, messages. Problems are messages. And then the last thing I want you to know is problems are solvable. So no matter what you're going through, that problem is solvable. And the thing is, we get our eyes so focused on the problem, and it becomes so big. How many have ever heard the Bible, or not the Bible, but people say that you need to start telling your mountain how big God is and stop telling God how big your mountain is. And you know, and that sounds a whole lot easier than it is to do. Come on. It just is. I mean, somebody's going through a hard time. They do not want to hear you say that. They just don't. But you know, the truth is, if we will magnify the Lord in our hearts, if we will magnify His word, no matter how severe the problem is that we're facing, we can have these things turn around and we can have blessings in our lives and God will solve it. Really, I believe that problems so much of the time will cause us to shrink back in fear and to bury our talents that God has given us. But you know, when a problem comes our way, we can face it, or the way we face it, I should say, really determine the outcome. Am I in Christ or am I in doubt? Or am I in doubt of myself? Am I expecting disaster or victory? And all those things really determine the outcome that we are going to have. Matter of fact, John Maxwell, you may know him as an author, speaker. He says this. He says, no trial will leave you tomorrow where you are today. No trial will leave you tomorrow where you are today. So you're either going to shrink back or you're going to move forward. Whatever trial you're going through, you will not be the same tomorrow. All right, but the way you face it, the way I face it, really determines whether we'll go move ahead or shrink back. So let's talk about some things that problems are. Number one, we want to see that they're reminders. And what are they reminders of? They are reminders that we need God's help. Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, this series, you're going to have a whole lot of scriptures. Some of you may know these scriptures. They may be new to others, but this is almost like a problem boot camp. If you'll take good notes, matter of fact, I'm going to ask this, and I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but it's something I was aware of this weekend, and some people brought it to my attention. How many of you have your Bibles with you? And if you don't, and the rest of you do not have your Bible, right? How many have it on a phone? Because that includes not even half of us, okay? Bring your Bibles to church. Start marking your Bible up. If you can't bring your Bible to church, listen, everybody look at me. You ain't taking it anywhere else. I mean, maybe you're taking it out in the woods and having your alone time with God. I don't know. But start bringing your Bibles. Bring your Bibles to church. Mark it up. Take notes. Highlight things. Write in it. I'll tell you what. It is really your manual for life. But this series is really going to be just kind of a reminder, a boot camp, whatever, the scriptures that you can use and realize we are in a spiritual battle. And no matter what your problem is that you're facing, if you don't fight it properly with the Word of God and the things that come out of your mouth and the things you meditate on and the things that you think about, you are not going to have the outcome that God wants. And a great place to start is to realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, there is nothing that you and I face, listen, that is too big for God. And the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. If you're a born-again believer, the same Spirit that raised Christ, come on, somebody, lives in you. Now, when you're facing a problem, you may be, okay, Pastor, I believe you. I'm trying. You just need to meditate and meditate. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, somebody. And you need to take that scripture, and that is your warfare. All right? If you're going to have success on the end of your problem, if you're going to have it solved, you have got to learn to take the Word of God and use it as a tool or a weapon, if you will, for victory. And being in Christ is a huge key. If you don't realize that you're in Christ, you're fighting the battle alone. And if you're fighting a battle alone, you will not have the outcome that God has planned for you. And that's just the truth. And so you need to believe it. It says in Colossians 2:9, it says, "For in him," say in him, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." See, so in Jesus is the fullness. You can't have victory just in yourself, but in Jesus, you can have complete victory, and God will get you his results if you don't grow weary and faint. The Bible says that we will reap what we sow, and if you're sowing the Word of God and you're meditating on the Word of God in your problem, you are going to reap a harvest, a spiritual harvest, and that is the truth. 2 Timothy 4:18, I love this attitude that Paul had. He said, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil." How many evil? How many? He says, "The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." What an attitude. These scriptures are power-packed, folks. They are power-packed. And so you're facing a problem. You need to speak to that problem and say, "The Lord has delivered me and will deliver me out of every evil. So what I'm facing right now, God is faithful to deliver me. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Come on, somebody. And you start to use those scriptures. 1 John 5:4. He says, "For whatever is born of God," how many are born again? All right. "Whatever is born," the rest of you, we're going to pray at the end of service. Some of you, we just got to pray that your arms work, because I know you're probably saved. But "whatever is born of God overcomes," say overcomes, "the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We walk by faith and not by sight." Come on. All right, so no matter what we're facing, I mean, and that is a trial, because if you're facing something that seems impossible, listen, it seems impossible. But by faith, you need to believe that God will deliver you out of every evil that you face. And it's our faith that delivers us. Our faith delivers us. So problems are reminders that we need God's help. So if you're facing a problem, don't face it on your own. And if you're not using the Word of God, if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not reading it, meditating on it, speaking it out of your mouth, you are facing your problem alone. You may love God, I believe that, but you're miserable. You're defeated. You're not getting the victory that God has for you, because so much of the time we look at our problem, we look at ourselves, and all the doubts that we have just mount up. All the fear starts to mount up. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. And so it's the perfect love of Jesus. Oh, that's Trisha's, one of her life scriptures, and it is so true. And if you say, well, it's not casting the fear out, then you're not meditating and really understanding the love of God to the level he wants you to. All right? That's not a criticism. It's really just a statement or an observation. And if we have fear in our lives, then Trish is going to come up and help us remove that fear. All right.
That's a big one for me, because, you know, the thing about meditation, you meditate and you meditate and you meditate until it becomes life. And for me, for so many years, fear was a part of my life. It was just part of who I was. It was a familiar spirit that had attached itself to me through things that had happened in my life and, you know, other things too. But some things just don't happen overnight. You know, sometimes there's a miracle and things just, but faith is a walk. It's a process. It takes time. And you know when you're not in that perfect love. You know when you are not walking in faith. You know, and if you haven't experienced the love of Father God and that freeing love that only He can give, there's nothing that anybody can do or say to help you get through that. You have to have a revelation of what Father God sees in you, how He sees you, how He loves you, how He created you. And He didn't create us to be miserable and afraid of everything. And I was. I mean, when Tony met me, I was afraid of everything. I was afraid of my own shadow, for goodness sake. You know, and I mean, so bound by fear and a people pleaser that I could not make up my mind for anything. I could not make a decision on anything. He asked me out, I'd go out with him, and then I'd back away for a while. He'd ask me out, I'd back away for a while. He'd tell me, I'm going to marry you someday. And I'd be like, no way. I ain't good enough for him. And whatever, the lies that the enemy tells us to make us afraid, to make us feel we're not of value, we're not of worth, we're not good enough, we'll be alone. Whatever those lies are, I know this message is going to be so freeing. I'm so excited about it. Maybe I'll come up and preach with it.
Right. You can. You can. That's good. And that is so key, what Trish just said, because really, you're going to have a hard time living in the kingdom of heaven if you don't realize how much God loves you. I mean, it sounds so elementary, and there's so many messages today on love. Some of them are good. Some of them are just really, I think, off base. But you got to understand that if you're in Christ, that God just loves. He loves everybody anyway. I mean, but He loves you so much. He is not holding your past against you. He's not holding the mistake you made today, the mistake you made a couple minutes ago, the mistake you're going to make when you leave today. He is not going to leave you. He's not. He will not forsake you. He loves you. And listen, if you don't believe that, you're done. It is going to be so hard to have victory. You may know some scriptures. You may even have had some things that you've seen happen. But if you can't live there today, in what you're facing, you are not going to have the kind of victory that God has in store for you. Because we walk by faith and what? Not by sight. And faith really works through love. Faith works through love. Where? That's Galatians. Who knows where that is? Galatians is chapter 5 in Galatians, isn't it? Faith works through love. Who can help me with that? I'm going to try and find that for you because it's a good one to put in there. It's Galatians. I think it's chapter 5. If not, then we'll just try to find it another time, but I'll get it for you. Well, somewhere. I'm not going to look. Somewhere in Galatians it says that faith works through love. So take it, take my word for it. It's in there. So problems are reminders that we need God's help, and we need to know that God is love and that He loves us if we are going to overcome whatever problem we're facing. Number two, I want to take a look at that. Problems are obstacles. Problems are obstacles. How many know that? They are. They are things that get in the way. All right? But listen what it says in James 1:2. You all love this scripture. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encountering trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. That's the Amplified. I like the way it says it. When you're enveloped, you are completely engulfed in a problem. The Bible says to be wholly joyful or consider it joy. That word joy literally means cheerfulness or calm delight. But you know that if you're walking in the love of God, no matter what you're facing, you can have a cheerful attitude. You may not like what you're going. It's not like you look at the problem and say, oh, this is cool, man, I love it. That's not what I'm saying. But you can have a cheerful attitude because, listen, if you can't stay cheerful and full of the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, by the way, and be calm and delight in the Lord, the Bible says that if we delight in the Lord, that He will give us what? The desires of our heart. And so the only way you're going to see that happen is if you can stay calm and delight in the Lord, and stay joy-filled. But you know what happens is most of the time when we face an obstacle, we pout, we quit, we blame somebody. And you know, we will never, ever have a breakthrough. We will never get past that obstacle. Even if that obstacle seems to kind of take a back seat for a while, you will face it again, whatever you're facing. If you have a habit, whenever something confronts you, when you have something that you're confronted by, if you pout, or if you blame somebody, play the blame game, or quit, you won't have a breakthrough. So many times, people just ignore it or go around it. If you go around it, that is a sure way to know that you're going to face that problem again down the road. All right? Because what God wants to do, there are problems in the world, okay? There are just problems that we face. And if you don't deal with whatever that obstacle is in your way, you are going to face it again. It may have a different name attached to it. It may have a different set of circumstances, but the way that it makes you feel and the fear and the doubt and the things that try to take you over, you're going to face that again. And so the best thing to do is really just face it, stay joyful, understand that the joy of the Lord is your strength, realize that this problem you're facing is a reminder that God is on your side and that you need his help. 2 Corinthians 4:17, listen to what he says. So he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, the Bible tells us in Philippians 2:13 that God is working in you, Philippians 2:13, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do the things that please him. But Paul the Apostle is writing this, and he says this light affliction that's but for a moment. And realize he's writing this to people that really are in danger of losing their lives. And he calls it a light affliction. I mean, no, you really can't stand against that. Whatever you're, because even if you're facing life and death, which is the worst thing you can face, by the way. But for us, come on, somebody, it doesn't end when this body's dead. Okay, we keep on going, all right? We take a licking, but we keep on ticking. Come on. And so the thing is, he's saying, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Really, what I believe he's showing us here is you and I need to be eternally minded. Whatever obstacle you're facing, you got to realize that God has an eternal plan for you. In the book of James, it says that our life here is like a vapor. Or maybe it's Peter. One of those two books says that. But it's like a vapor. A vapor. Whatever you're facing is like a vapor, all right? Your whole life is like a vapor. And so you need to realize that God has something he's working in you that is going to last and last and last. So whatever obstacle you're facing, you and I have got to face it with joy. We've got to stay calm. We've got to make the Lord our delight. Psalm 30:11, he says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Now, I've got quite a number of scriptures I'm going to give you throughout the course of this series. You need to take those. Those are kind of like ammunition, all right? Those are like ammunition that you need to just have when you fight the fight of faith. And you need to, that one there is a great one. For Lord, you've turned my mourning into dancing. Come on, you're facing something. You say, Lord, I know there's victory on the other side of this. You've clothed me with gladness, with the oil of joy instead of mourning. As we mentioned, problems are blessings, and that may seem ridiculous, okay? When I say that problems are blessings, you say, yeah, right, Pastor. You don't know the problem I'm facing. But you know, when we face them with the right attitude, dare to endure the problem, you and I will reap the blessing that God has for us. Sometimes a blessing really comes through a battle, all right? You need to go through a battle to get the blessing that God has for you. But the question is, which seed is it that is bearing fruit? Is it the seed of the flesh or the seed of the Word of God, which is the imperishable seed? I want to read, I didn't have this in my notes, Zach, but maybe we can add it in the New Living Translation. New Living Translation, I want to read, and some of us are familiar with this, but I just want to insert it. Ephesians chapter 6, I want to read verses 10 through 13. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. And again, this would be a good note to write down, mark it in your Bible. You can get online. This message will be here next week, this weekend or next week. We'll have copies of this message, so you can pick it up. If you didn't bring anything to write notes down tonight, you can get this. But Ephesians 6, 10, it says, a final word. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all, somebody say all. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Listen, this works even when you're thinking, oh boy, I don't know about this. You need to meditate on it and meditate on it. You take the Word of God, which is your weapon, all right? He says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in his dark world or in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. And the problem is, I'm thinking a couple of years ago, I can't remember exactly. Brandon, I know I saw you, you're here. A couple of years ago, we were over in the other building. I had him put on a tool belt. He's a carpenter, and I had him put on a tool belt, and he's got all these tools on there. I don't know how much that thing weighs, but he's got all these tools. And you know, you need to take that. If you get up on a roof or something, you want that with you, right? Now, when you get to where you're going, or you're going to be going back and forth to the tool shed a whole lot during the, am I right? Now, I'm not a builder. I mean, I've been on a couple work sites as grunt labor, but you know, that, you got to take it with you. But I believe that so many Christians are just like someone who says, I'm going to go build a house. And they start getting up there. They got their hammer, and they take one nail at a time. And every time they need another nail, they get back down. And they get back up, and they get back down, and they get back up, and they get back down, and they get back up. Then they need another tool, and they go back down. And they find that tool, and they go back up. They use that tool, they need another tool. They go back down, they get back up. And you know, so many times, because we have not loaded our tool belt, so to speak, with the Word of God, we can't do the spiritual warfare that we need to do. But it's very clear here that we are not fighting with flesh and blood. The people you face and whatever obstacle or problem it is you're facing are not the enemy. All right? Now, the enemy can use people. All right? That is true. But if you don't fight the battle spiritually, you're not going to have a breakthrough. And the Word of God is the only weapon that is going to break through when you're fighting unseen powers and principalities and authorities in the unseen world. The Bible says that they're mighty powers in this dark age. Understand, the devil is the god of this age. Everything in this world is fighting to steal your identity and the blessings of God from you. You go way back in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve turned over the rights to this world to Satan when they sinned and fell. But Jesus came and gave those rights back to us. You know, it's kind of like you're proving, I got the deed. Hello, somebody. The deed belongs to me. Matter of fact, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit our down payment in one translation. And we're fighting for that, saying, nope, I got the paper, and the paper's the Word of God. But if you don't know the Word of God, you ain't got the paper, and you ain't going to stand up in court. Hello, somebody. Does that make sense to you? And so if we don't know the Word of God, and that's why I say, bring your Bibles to church. Again, I'm not scolding you. I'm encouraging you. I'm challenging you. Your Bible is the only thing you have. All right? We said before, you go to some parts of this world, and there are places that have existed on one chapter of the Word of God for years. That's all they have is one chapter. I see pictures, you know, that people who travel abroad and missions, they'll bring a Bible to a group of people. They give them a Bible. I'm telling you, it is like Christmas. That Bible, it is like, they're like, ah! They got one outfit that they're going to wear that whole month, one outfit of clothing. But they get a Bible and they are jumping for joy. We have Bibles and we have a hard time reading them. But you know, it's the only way that we can, I mean, God forbid if anything ever happened in this country where we couldn't assemble like this, all right? We'd still figure out a way to assemble. It might be underground like some countries do or whatever. I'm not saying that's going to happen tomorrow, but you don't know. Sometimes we think, well, the United States of America, you know, we've been around, blah, blah, blah. We've only been around a little over 200 years, folks. We ain't that old. When you look at history, all right, there's been a lot of governments, all right? Now, I believe the hand of God is on this country. I do, and I pray for this country and our leaders. And I believe it was founded on God's principles, all right? We're not honoring God as a country right now, but that's because Christians aren't praying and Christians don't know the Word of God. Not in this church. Not if I can help it. So we need to know the Word. We need to understand it. If we are going to face whatever problem we're facing, if we're going to do warfare the way God wants us to do warfare and to really come out on the other end with that problem turning into a blessing, we've got to understand the Word of God. Jesus said in John 6:64, he said, the flesh profits nothing, but the words that I speak are spirit and life. Okay? We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. So your flesh can't profit in this battle. All right? It's the Word of God that brings life. Psalm 119:71, it says, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. So see, what he's saying is, when I'm afflicted, I am learning to trust nothing but the Word of God. So when you're facing an obstacle, the way you receive blessings is to realize, okay, this obstacle right now, this problem right now, I can take this and I can turn it into a victory if I realize that the only thing I can trust is God's Word. And that's why it's important to know what God's Word is. So the way that we view an affliction is, okay, this is an opportunity for me to get stronger. Come on, somebody. And you may not like what you're going through, and I understand that. But the only way we get stronger is when we face that affliction and take the Word of God and allow God to bring a harvest and start to learn His will. See, what do I mean by that? What does God say about me? What does God say about me? And we're giving you plenty of scriptures tonight, and there's more. What's God say about my problem? There is a scripture for every problem you face. I don't care if it's finances. I don't care if it's healing. And we'll get into some of those as we get through the series. God has a word. Matter of fact, we've got some books out there called In Him. Grab one. If you don't have one, we'll order more. All right? We don't have any in stock right now. We'll get some. I know we're always looking for a good price on them because we like to just give them away. But something that's called God's Promises for Your Every Need. It's a simple little book. It's been around forever. You can go buy one yourself. You can get them online. But you and I need to know the Word of God. You need to know what God says about you. You know, I love John the Baptist's attitude. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And John said, I'm not the one. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not even worthy to lace up his sandal straps. But John knew who he was, and he knew his calling, and he knew what God wanted him to do with his life. Paul the Apostle knew what God wanted him to do with his life. You and I need to know what God wants us to do with our lives because God has a call on your life, and his word has a lot to say to you about what he has for you. Hebrews 5:7, speaking of Jesus, it says this, that in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, that word obedience there means submission. He learned submission. Remember Jesus in the garden. It's speaking of Jesus when he's praying in the garden. And the Bible said that he prayed and great drops of blood fell like sweat. All right? Remember, he says, Lord, if this cup can depart from me, let it depart. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's what this scripture is referencing there. See, what he's doing is he's submitting to the will of Father. Now, whatever it is that you're facing, let me back up a minute. Rewind. Okay. The biggest problem with most Christians, all right, is because life has problems. The Bible says the rain falls on the just, the unjust. The winds come and beat on the foundation of sand. The winds come and beat on the foundation of rock. Are you with me? It doesn't matter. It depends on what you build on. All right? Things happen. But the problem is because most Christians haven't taken time to understand the will of God for their lives. When obstacles come, they got nothing to fall back on. And so all you got is an obstacle. All you've got is a problem. Does that make sense? If you knew God's will, you could say, Lord, I know your will for me. And then on the other side of this problem, because life has problems, I know that I have victory. Does that make sense to you? So that's why it's so important to know his word. You're going to face an obstacle. All you have is the word of God. If you want to get to where God's taking you, you need to get to a place where his word is more real than whatever you face in this life. And if you don't know God's will, you got nothing to stand on. If you don't know what it says, if you haven't taken time in the quiet time to let him speak to you, to learn his voice, everything we teach you week after week after week, it's going to be really hard to be able to see on the other side. But you and I should live like Jesus did because Jesus knew the perfect will of Father, and no matter what the obstacles, he knew that he could submit to it or be obedient to it. I mean, look, this is a scripture I didn't have in my notes, Zach, but maybe we can look up 2 Timothy 4, New Living Translation, 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul the Apostle says this, 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. Listen, you can't say that if you don't know what your race is. If you don't know what to remain faithful to, you can't say that. Are you with me tonight? And that's why it's so important. That's why it's so important that you and I understand the will of God. That's why it's so important when you're facing the obstacle that you're facing right now that you find out who you are in him, because it's in him that you're going to have the victory. Still speaking about Jesus and his obedience, his submission to the plan of God for his life. Philippians 2:8, he says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, say therefore. God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now, let's apply this principle to our lives. Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever problem, whatever obstacle, if you want it to be turned into a blessing, you've got to realize what the will of God is for your life so you can get to where God wants you to get. That's what this principle is saying. See, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. All right? That's what it tells us in Hebrews chapter 12. And because he did that, God highly exalted him. He got to his place of exaltation. He got to the place where God had prepared for him since before the foundation of the world. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 that God chose us in him and had a plan for us since before the foundation of the world. So we're supposed to live the same way so that God can get us to where he wants to get us. Does that make sense to you? But the only way we can do it is through God's word. Through God's word. Again, we're just setting a foundation tonight, so let's move on. Problems are lessons. Lessons to be learned. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Again, these are some great scriptures to do some warfare. No matter what you're facing, you could say, in all these things that I'm facing, we are more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror today through Christ who loves me. I am more than a conqueror. More than a, more. I am more. I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Come on. That's warfare. That's warfare. All right? And if we're not doing that, we are not getting on top of our situation. We are not getting on top of our problem if we're not doing this with the Word of God. Because really, problems are lessons that can teach us to be flexible yet determined. I like to say it this way. You know, I like to write down the plan of God that I believe God's revealed to me, but I use a pencil and I carry a big eraser because I know I'm going to have, Bible says I see it in part, but how many know God's going to just direct me and kind of help me and just redirect me just a little bit, because we don't hear everything perfect, but you got to hear something. Come on, somebody. You got to start somewhere. Many lessons can only be learned through trials. Many things, the only way you can learn them is to go through that trial. Again, that's why we can say, I'm going to be joyful, because I know the only way I can learn this lesson and the only way I can be stronger is to go through this. You know, it's kind of like we just got to have the attitude that this problem is bread for me. I'm eating this thing, and I'm going to get stronger. People in the world, they say, well, doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I think that's a good thing to live by. All right? Experience is a hard teacher, but it will bear fruit in our lives. No question. Problems are everywhere. Hello, John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Great scripture. Great scripture. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. I mean, Jesus is teaching his disciples about having peace. The peace that supersedes understanding. Peace not like the world gives. He goes on in chapter 17 of John, right at the chapter right after what we just read, in chapter 17, and he starts to pray for his disciples. He starts to pray for every believer that would believe on his name, that we would be one, even as Jesus and Father God were one. I tell you, this is a great scripture right here, even though we quote it a lot from this pulpit, and you probably know it. We can overcome the world because, again, we're in him. We are in him, all right? We can't get away from problems, but we can endure them and bear good fruit. We need to say, I am an overcomer. Will you say that? I am an overcomer. Say, I am an overcomer. And you just need to take this scripture and just post it on your mirror in your bathroom or in your car or whatever. Well, maybe not in your car. I don't want you reading it while you're driving. But put it somewhere. And just believe God that you are more than a conqueror, that you are overcoming no matter what your problem is. So problems are lessons. They're everywhere. Problems are messages. Philippians 1:12. Again, we're just setting a foundation tonight. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. I love this passage. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest that my chains are in Christ, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. See, the way you and I respond to the message will determine our outcome We need to pay attention. We need to redirect sometimes. We need to respond to the Spirit of God. But you know the result is that others are encouraged. The gospel is preached. Hear Paul the Apostle saying, yeah, I might be locked up in prison, but what's happened to me has turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Listen, if you and I know the call that God has on our lives, no matter what challenge or trial that we're facing, no matter what problem we're going through right now, we know that the gospel is going to get preached no matter what. No matter what, I can think of some of the greatest trials I've gone through. And the gospel got preached no matter what. No matter what. And we may even sometimes think, boy, I don't know how this is going to bear fruit for the kingdom of heaven. But see, we're always looking at things with our natural eyes. And how many know God's a whole lot bigger than our natural eyes? And so when we face things, we need to have an attitude like Paul the Apostle did and realize that, look, whatever I'm going through, I know the gospel is going to get preached. And then you know the testimony that you've got, the way God got you through that problem, is going to encourage other people. And really, that is part of the fruit that God wants to bear in your life. So listen, if you're not taking the time to learn the Word of God and overcome whatever problem you're facing, you are gypping somebody from the gift that you are to help somebody else overcome their problem. I mean, it really removes that whole attitude, well, my life's just mine, you know. It's your life. Do what you want to do. I mean, come on. It is not your life. Don't just do what you want to do. That's a lie, all right? It's his life. He bought it. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. And the thing is, you were made for this time to get victory and to help bring somebody else through to victory. So your life's not for you. We have to have that servant mentality. I mean, that's what we believe in this church. Part of what we do is to reach out and make disciples by serving people. That's why we challenge you to get involved in the community. That's why we challenge you to talk to people at work. Talk to your neighbors. Get out and serve people. Pray and ask God, what do you want you to do? I mean, in fact, we're just serving people beer Saturday. It's just a simple thing. All right? It's a matter of fact, let me just say, if you're going to help with that this week, we need you Saturday. We need you here at 6 o'clock. If you're signed up for that, we got your shirts and all that. We'll have them Saturday. But we want to pray together. We want to get prepared. We're going to believe God for just a great, great opportunities as we're serving beer in those tents down at the Cherry Festival. And there's a group of people who've already signed up for that. If you're interested in that, help us next year. We've already got our team. We're ready to go, But if you're on that team, let me just say you need to be here Saturday at 6 or next Thursday at 6. Okay, those are the 2 days, Saturday and Thursday. Thursday, of course, is the 4th of July. But the thing is, you and I have got to realize that what God wants to do in your life is not only going to help you overcome your problem, but it's also going to give you the strength, the knowledge, the understanding to be able to help somebody through their problem. And that's really part of being a disciple. Is being led, because you understand, Jesus came. Here's what Jesus said about himself. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to lay his life down as a ransom for many. You remember on the night that Jesus was betrayed, one of the things he did was he took a towel, the Bible says, and he would gird his waist, and he washed the disciples' feet. Just showing a picture of an ultimate servant. We've got to be servant-minded. If we're going to be disciples of Christ, we have got to be servant-minded. Our lives are not about us. Man, I can't stress that enough. I cannot stress that enough. And we are selfish people. We really are. It's the truth. Look at babies. Babies are the most selfish creatures. They're cute, and we love them, and we like to cuddle them until they poop. Then we give them back to mama or papa. And then Papa gives it back to Mama. But, you know, they just cry till they get their way. That really just shows how selfish we are. Problems are solvable. Come on, somebody. This is the last of our letters for the acronym. Solvable. Genesis 50:20. Look at this. We just looked at the life of Joseph. Finished it up 2 weeks ago. Genesis 50:20. It says, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." Again, it shows you that your life is not just for you. Joseph had this attitude, and that's really what helped him through all the trials he went through, was he realized that even though the devil, if you will, meant it for bad, that God took what he went through and turned it around for good, that many would be saved. Because it's not just about us, all right? Most times it's not that there's no answer to the problem. The question is, am I willing to pay the price to solve it or see it through to the end? There's always an answer, but the problem is, a lot of times we're just not willing to pay the price. We've got to trust God, and we just, whatever we're facing, we got to have joy. 2 Corinthians 4:8, it says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. No matter what you're going through, you are not destroyed. It will not be the end of you. We only fail when we give up. Listen, failure is not a person. It's just an event. So don't quit. If you've had some measure of what you would think is failure, listen, don't quit, all right? You only fail, really, when you stop. You keep going. You keep going. You keep going. It's like Pastor Dwayne. How many saw Pastor Dwayne last week? What a great message. I mean, I'm telling you. Something Pastor Dwayne always says, you know, we ask him, pastors, you know, he's a pastor of pastors, and we say, what can we do to succeed? He's been in the ministry well over 30 years. I mean, him and Jeannie have been married 39 years, so they've been in ministry almost that long. What do we do to succeed? He said, outlast the devil. I mean, that's it. And you know what? That's good advice. It really, really is. Don't quit. Don't give up. Stay married, he says. Pastors, stay married. You know, if you're married, stay married. No matter what you're facing, stay married. If you give up, it's going to be a whole lot worse for you. Stay married. Now, if you've been divorced, God loves you. He's got a plan way beyond that. All right, so don't beat yourself up. But if you're married, stay married. Do not let the devil have the upper hand in your relationship. Don't do it. Are you kidding me? Do you know how many marriages need your help nowadays? Oh my goodness. Failure is an event. It's not a person. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Just a couple more scriptures, and we'll end for tonight. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Come on, that problem you're facing is temporary, somebody. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Our inheritance is waiting for us, both here and in eternity. Listen, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10, if you want to write that down. The inheritance that God has for us lasts forever. I want to read the last scripture tonight, 1 Peter 1:4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for who? Yeah, say for me. Say for me. The inheritance that God has for you is reserved for you. Say for me. See, now you can be selfish about that. You can't be selfish with your life, but you can be selfish about your inheritance. And guess what? The inheritance that God has for you, you get to share with everybody you come in contact with. So listen, whatever problem you're facing, understand that God has something for you way beyond that, that is so huge that you should be excited to see God take you there. Because I'll tell you what, and the bigger the problem, the bigger the reward. And that's the truth. That is the truth, all right? Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for the word of God. I thank you tonight that it's been sown in good hearts and that it is bearing fruit unto salvation in whatever situation we face. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me just say this. The Bible tells you that you can know that you're on your way to heaven. I can't think of a better thing to tell you tonight than the fact that Jesus loves you and died for you and wants to spend eternity with you. Now, what's going to happen here is if you've never prayed that prayer, one thing, you're going to know that you're on your way to heaven. The other thing is Jesus wants you to be his disciple and to lay your life down and serve him so that he can unfold his plan for your life. It means you'll have to turn your back on your old life, make him Lord of your life, and then serve him. But listen, no matter what you think about that, sometimes the devil says, well, all the fun's over. No, listen, the fun just begins because God has got a plan for your life that until you accept him as your Savior and make yourself a disciple, you can't even imagine how great life can be. Or maybe you're here tonight, maybe you've prayed a prayer like this, but you know you're not living for God. We want to pray with you tonight too. So if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to know I'm on my way to heaven. I want to submit my life to Jesus Christ tonight. On the count of three, let me see your hand. 1, 2, 3. Lift your hand up quick. Say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. I want to come back to Jesus. Now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of his Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're a first-time guest here with us, we have something we call a welcome brochure. It tells you about our ministry.